Thank you, Jenny. Shall I just use this microphone? Thumbs up from the back. Well, it's nice to see you all again. And if you haven't already gathered, our theme this morning is all about perseverance. Well, we've already talked with the younger people about what perseverance is, so we all know that. But when I say the word perseverance, what does it mean to you? Anyone want to share anything? No, deadly silence. Okay. Well, I will share my thoughts. For me, don't give up. For me, the word perseverance conjures up memories of being told many years ago now in a school assembly about Robert the Bruce. Thought you might. Robert the Bruce, also known as Robert the First, King of Scotland, who reportedly was hiding from the English in a cave, and whilst he was there, he was watching a spider either climbing up or spinning a web. And he kept failing. But what did the spider do? He kept on going, didn't he? He kept trying. And he persevered, or she, might have been a lady spider, until it succeeded. And as a result of watching that, Robert the Bruce himself didn't give up. He was inspired to return to the fight. And he subsequently beat the English and secured the Scottish throne. Now, this all happened way back in, I think, the 14th century. So we're not sure of the authenticity of the story, but it has survived this long afterwards. And it certainly made an impact on me. And I myself have used it in several school assemblies when I was teaching, and I'm sharing it with you now. So obviously there is some sort of truth in that. And of course, that's used to illustrate how persevering is really important, really, really important in times in order to achieve success. And it's really, really important for us not to give up on those things we believe in. Anyone else want to share anything? Stories about perseverance? If not, I will carry on. I will carry on. I will persevere in my thoughts. Well, other examples I can think of is when children are learning to walk. Now, I expect some of you have got children or seen children learning to walk, and nowadays I think parents quite often try and capture the first steps of their child, don't they? But before a child learns to walk, what happens? They fall down, not just once, but several times, I would imagine. But they don't give up. And if there wasn't that falling down and getting up again, they'd never learn to walk, would they? So that in itself is sheer perseverance. And some folks have to take their driving tests more than once, don't they? I didn't, but, you know, some people do. Like I was saying to the children, we're all different. We're all good or not so good at different things. And it takes us different amounts of time to do things. And we have to keep going. What else? Scientists are good examples of people who persevere, especially those who persevered to find an answer during COVID. Martin Luther King is another who persevered in his quest for justice and peace for African Americans and all who were affected and suffered injustice. And we could mention someone called Corrie ten Boom. Have you heard of her? Corrie ten Boom? Yeah. Mick and I were recently over in Harlem and I was walking along and I saw Corrie ten Boom Museum. I didn't know it existed. Didn't have time to go in, unfortunately, but I'd like to go back. But Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch lady around in the Second World War, those of you who didn't know. And she was a great impact on me as a teenager. She was a prisoner of war. and she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. Well, what does perseverance mean to us as Christians? Our reading from 2 Timothy 2 was written by Paul, and he was writing it when he was imprisoned yet again for all the things that he stood up for. This time he was in prison at the behest of Emperor Nero. Now we know that Paul was thrown into prison several times as he went round preaching and witnessing and sharing the good news. But the fact that he was in prison several times showed that he didn't give up, did he? He persevered and kept going. So he knew what it was to persevere, and he was talking from experience and believable authority. Well, while writing to Timothy, it was after his fourth missionary journey. And according to my study Bible, this time he was actually languishing in a horrible damp dungeon. And actually, some of his friends found it difficult to even find out where he was, where he was being kept prisoner. And indeed, shortly afterwards, he did die. In chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 of Timothy, Paul writes, "May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me." What a good friend that Onesiphorus was. I'm not sure if that's how you say it. But I did persevere trying to say it, but I'm still not sure. But this friend, Onesiphorus, he kept looking for Paul, and it wasn't the first time. And he found him and supported him. He'd supported and helped him in Ephesus as well. So, just as Paul writes in chapter 2 about perseverance, here his friend is persevering, actively demonstrating perseverance and faithfulness in looking out for him. But why is Paul writing to Timothy? Why is he writing? Well, there are several reasons. It might help to know that both the letters to Timothy and Titus are referred to as pastoral letters. They were letters that were written to give both Timothy and Titus instructions concerning the pastoral care of the churches that they were helping with. Timothy was commissioned to have care of the church in Ephesus, whilst Titus was Paul's representative in Crete, in Greece. Now, Timothy is being written to personally here, because Timothy was Paul's young assistant, and they had a sort of father-son relationship. They had travelled extensively together, which wouldn't have been easy in those days, would it? So Paul is advising Timothy as well as the church. Timothy remained in Ephesus while Paul had moved on to Macedonia, and understandably, Paul must have been lonely and missed Timothy, which in itself is reason to write to someone, isn't it? If you miss someone, you write. Maybe not so much today. It would be email or text, wouldn't it? But you certainly keep in touch. He was also writing to Timothy to instruct him and to encourage him to persevere in serving Christ, and for him to pass that encouragement on to those people that he was then supporting. At the beginning of chapters 1 and 2, Paul addresses Timothy as his son. Straight away in chapter 2, Paul tells him to be strong in the grace that is Jesus Christ. He goes on to tell Timothy to entrust the things he's been taught along the way by his side to men who can be relied on to pass on those teachings. The message puts it like this: "So, my son, throw yourself into this work for Christ. "Pass on what you have heard from me," the whole congregation saying "Amen," "to reliable leaders who are competent to teach others." He also says, "When the going gets rough, take it on the chin like the rest of us, the way Jesus did." The message entitles the first part of 2 Timothy 2, "Doing your best for God." Doing your best for God, which is quite plain speaking, isn't it? Paul then uses three different examples to help explain what he wants to try and get across. Firstly, in verse 3, he tells Timothy to be mindful of a soldier who sets out to please his commander. Now, as Christians, we are soldiers of Christ, aren't we? And we must choose to serve and follow our leader. I'm sure you're all aware of Paul's writing to the Ephesians about the armour of God. Have you heard of that? He gives us all this armour, doesn't he? The helmet of? The sword of the? The breastplate of? Righteousness. The belt of? Truth. The shield of? Faith. And what do we have on our feet? The shoes of the readiness to share the gospel of Christ. So Paul has already told us all these things, and he's bringing up this analogy of the soldier again. We can do well to understand and put on our armour every day. It's not a bad thing to get into as a little routine, but really mean it, to protect ourselves. But he also tells us how soldiers do not get caught up in civilian affairs. Do not get caught up in civilian affairs. Or as the message puts it, like this: a soldier does not get caught up making deals at the marketplace. He concentrates on carrying out orders. Does this speak to us today? Does it? Do we get sidetracked and drawn away from following Jesus? Do we stop concentrating on Jesus and lose our focus from time to time? Are we more interested in going along with what the world thinks and following the latest trends, or being popular with our colleagues or friends, than obeying Jesus? I'm certainly not judging you. I'm speaking to myself here as well. It's all too easy to be pulled away and go along with whatever is the trend. It's all too easy to get tempted to do other things than to follow Jesus and to follow how he would like us to wait to do. It's easy to follow and waste time on frivolous things than spend time with Jesus. When you wake up in the middle of the night, do you start worrying? Do you start going over what's going to happen the next day? Or do you start talking to God? We've all got choices on how we spend our time and how we focus our minds, haven't we? Secondly, Paul uses the example of an athlete, hence the basketball earlier. Quite apt at the moment, so many sporty things going on, isn't there? And of course the cricket's on at the moment as well. Any cricket fans here? Well done, I don't understand it at all. I have got lots of friends who are into it though. But, you know, athletes have to follow rules, don't they? There are rules in games and championships and things. We won't receive the victor's crown if we break the rule. The athlete won't receive the reward if they break the rules. Over the years, this hasn't changed, has it? No matter what sport it might be, sometimes the rules change, but there are always rules. Field events, tennis, football, cricket, whatever. All sports have rules, and competitors can be disqualified for not adhering to them, and rightly so. They're there for a reason. And that is similar to following Christ too. We have to answer to him and be obedient followers. The Bible is our rule book, if you like. Soldiers and athletes alike have particular guidelines and rules to follow. Think of all the work and training that goes into being a good athlete at the top of the game. Quite often there are sacrifices, changes in diet, getting up extra early to practice and whatever. All the perseverance to get to the top of the game. Why then throw it all away by not following a rule? Thirdly, Timothy talks about a farmer. He goes on to say, a hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. In this illustration, it's saying that hard work will be rewarded, just as a good soldier or a dedicated athlete will see success. Does not necessarily mean financial reward, though. That's not what it's talking about. That's not what is important here. What Paul is getting at is the enjoyment of seeing lives changed through the gospel being proclaimed and shared. This message, these teachings from Paul to Timothy, are applicable and appropriate all these years later for us too. Paul goes on to remind Timothy that he too is suffering, yet persevering whilst imprisoned. He is not giving up or about to lose his faith. What a great example he is to us all. He quotes a saying in Timothy, verses 11 to 13. Paul also says it's a trustworthy one, so take note of it. Some sources say it might have been an early Christian hymn. It says this, and we read it earlier. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. How great are those words when you really think about it? You know, the message says, if we give up on him, he will not give up on us. He will not give us up on us. That tells us that our God is faithful and perseveres. I don't know about you, but I think that comes from the fact that he loves us. You know, somebody could be really, 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 really awful to you time and again, but if you love them, you persevere with them, don't you? You don't give up. And that's like God too. Paul tells Timothy to keep repeating these basic essentials to God's people and not to get up in senseless arguing. Yes, here we can take heed too. How many of you like a good old argument? Be honest. My hair is sort of red. I'm usually quite peaceful, but I can argue too. Being a Christian does not mean suddenly that everything is going to be hunky-dory and A-OK and wonderful. Paul endured, and many of those we've mentioned have had a tough time, but through endurance and perseverance, great things can be done. And also, when you endure and persevere, you get stronger, don't you? Your faith gets stronger. It's a bit like when we were throwing the ball, you know, Ned, wasn't it? Ned got the ball in the basket quite easily when it was near, but when it was a bit further, it was a bit more difficult. But don't you think that's a little bit like us? God teaches us as we go along. When we persevere and trust in him, we can cope with things. And when he knows that we're walking alongside him, he gives us harder things to do. He stretches our faith a bit more. Doesn't mean that he's gone away. He just wants us to grow and try a bit harder, maybe. So, we are not promised an easy life, but God is faithful and will be with us, even when we think he isn't. Don't let the devil get in your head and tell you that God's gone off somewhere and having a bath or whatever. He hasn't. He's there. Paul reminded us in the passage we've been looking at of lots of things. And you may know the song, "There is power in the name of Jesus." Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of that and proclaim it, even when perhaps we aren't feeling it. We also sing of God being our rock. Let's remind ourselves of that when we face hard or difficult times in our lives. We have the ultimate example in Jesus, who bore the cross for us. He has gone before, and he will be alongside us if we ask him to, through his Holy Spirit. And quite often, if we look, he is alongside us through other people who he's placed there to be our helpers. Amen. And we are going to sing again now.